the Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. It's party eve up around here, going back to one of the redder portions of Wisconsin tomorrow. Going out to Beaver Dam, Johnny's Lounge. Hope to see you there. Keep checking the hour-by-hour weather reports. Might be a little overcast tomorrow, but 75, and it'll be glorious where we're broadcasting from on Johnny's deck across from Lake Beaver Dam. So anyways, join us there. Later in this big show, we got the Attorney General, great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call. He is a candidate again, Tom. He's running for re-election. And we got a fine guest, a friend of ours, former U.S. Attorney James Santelli, joins us right now live via Zoom. Jim, welcome back to the greatest radio show ever, some people say.
Hey, Jim.
And everyone should be saying that, right? Good to be with you once again this afternoon.
Thanks, well, it's a high bar, Jim. You better live up, fella. Jim, got to ask you about some Kraken chicanery in the Michigan courts, the federal courts, my understanding, the lawyers for the former President Trump. And they put quite a few lawsuits out there all in all, Jim. But a federal judge in Michigan took over 6 hours to examine the record and the affidavits offered. And apparently the judge read them, but what? Lynn Wood, the attorney, claimed, well, I wasn't even a part of it. I never read any of this. Jim, are we to believe the attorneys for Trump didn't even read their own submissions to the courts?
It certainly sounds like there's an awful lot of finger pointing going on, right? If you signed it, you didn't write it. If you wrote it, you didn't sign it. And as you said, Lynn says, the exact quote was, "Your Honor, I just didn't have anything to do with this." And so that's going on in the federal district court in eastern Michigan. The judge about whom you speak is Judge Linda Parker, who does hear arguments for over 6 hours based upon the requests by the city and the state for the imposition of basically penalties. The state is looking for about $11,000 in attorney's fees, the city asking for money, and beyond that, a referral to their local appropriate state bars for disciplinary action. A six-hour hearing on disciplinary matters, on whether or not you've lied to the court, whether your pleadings are purposefully inaccurate and shoddy, as the judge said. That is not a good thing for any lawyer. I just came off a hearing before this wonderful radio program this afternoon, making representations both written and oral. I do it advisedly. And if you don't do that as a lawyer, your bar cards are in big trouble, as theirs are.
Here was the most interesting part, as far as I was concerned, Jim. The Kraken lady, the attorney Sidney Powell, you know, seen her a lot on the Fox News and out there supportive of the big lie across the country. But she's not remorseful, Jim. There was no contrition. She'd do it again. What was your impression of her testimony?
She told the judge, according to the report, she takes full responsibility, those words, for the case's pleadings. Probably not a good thing, but she would file them again, she said. She and the other lawyers had a legal obligation to the country to raise issues about the elections. Defiance is plainly her middle name these days. It'll not go well for her. And again, perhaps some contrition would have been more appropriate. Note also that this is not the end of this. Obviously, Judge Parker has solicited additional pleadings from the parties about whether or not sanctions should issue. Highly likely that she is going to do something by way of monetary fines. Perhaps she's also referring this to the chief judge to determine whether or not these attorneys should ever again be permitted to practice in the Eastern District of Michigan, the federal court there. And as we know, Rudy Giuliani suspended New York. The Colorado court is also now looking at a similar thing. The state of Wisconsin, the governor has recently asked that likewise judges here take a look at the pleadings that were filed in our state. This is going to continue as a way of trying to establish some accountability for these attorneys who ran roughshod over the judicial system to no end and did it purposefully, knowingly. And again, as Judge Parker said, with pretty much wild abandon, claims of fraud that have no substance to them and making for the purpose of making the public believe that the election itself was fraudulent, something wrong with it. And that really goes to the core of this. A misrepresentation is one thing, horrific in itself. Your intent then is to undermine the legitimacy of an election.
Our fine guest, former U.S. attorney and our friend, James Santel. Jim, Cindy Powell, the attorney, the Kraken lady, has other
business before the courts, let's just say, a civil suit, a defamation lawsuit. I think the plaintiff seeking something to the tune of $1.6 billion from the defendant, Powell. And my understanding, her early legal pleadings in that matter say, effectively, she's a BS artist, and you cannot reasonably trust her to tell the truth, Jim. If I understood, you know, the gist of her legal pleadings. Jim, does that sound like an effective defense to you, sir?
It is interesting. It may or may not be unique in jurisprudence, but it's pretty darn close. And it is effectively, if you will, an admission that what you have said, what you've done in those pleadings is in fact in violation of your basic responsibilities as an officer of the court. Again, an interesting theory upon which to defend yourself. Anytime, once again, you enter into the court venue and make representations, you've got to be legitimate about it. And to afterwards say, oh, I was just joking. This wasn't legitimate. I was just having fun. That's not what our process here is all about. I'd offer it's not the process anywhere on the face of the globe that has a thoughtful and reasonable judicial system. She is in big trouble. And if that's the best she can do, look forward to more sanctions being entered against Sidney Powell and the 7-8 other attorneys who are following her around the country, responding to the likes of Judge Parker and, again, even the civil lawsuit. Lots of money going to be exchanging hands here.
Jim, Judge Parker, according to CNN, asked the 9 lawyers who took part in bringing the lawsuit if they had ever followed up to learn if any of their so-called witnesses actually saw a vote being changed. No one responded. Let the record reflect, Parker responded, noting their silence. Then she says, there has to be a minimal belief on the part of the counsel that these are rooted in fact. Every lawyer has a duty to do minimal research to verify evidence presented in court, the judge added. Now, we know about all the mistakes that were in some of those documents referencing wrong states and wrong venues and those kinds of things. But Jim, my concern on this isn't just that it's in the Eastern District of Michigan. I mean, they did this all over the country. And when they did this all over the country, what they did was provide cover for guys like Trump and the Republicans to say, look, we got to do something. And the net result of the big lie, and this is certainly a big part of that, because if you can reference, federal court cases on fraud in elections, that's all everyone's going to get to is the headline. Jim, what is the most just outcome, in your opinion, for these cases? Not just this one, but all of them taken together, because they were successful in the fact that they planted this seed. They may not have been successful. Michigan threw this, the court threw this out almost immediately, but there was a net effect, Jim. Will that play into any sort of consequence, and what would that consequence be?
It certainly should be. And to get back to your very important point about what these affidavits say, any lawyer looking at the affidavits that Judge Parker was looking at that you just referenced, the affidavits themselves say things like, well, it could be that something happened here. And it looked to me as if maybe something bad happened. Those are the kinds of things that no lawyer would ever submit absent more credible information. It is an embarrassment, actually, to the legal profession that this was done in the first place. The fact that this was done there and around the country underscores your point, which is the large headline. Affidavits submitted. Nobody really takes a look at the substance of those. Affidavits submitted in federal court suggesting improprieties. There is no there. And that's what Judge Parker is saying. The larger point you're making about consequences is really the important one. And again, the attorneys on the other side for the city and the state made this very clear. They should be forbidden from practicing again in that district. They should be referred to the bars in which they are licensed. Just before we started, I pulled up my bar cards for 2021 and 2022. And yes, I'm good through July of next year. Any of them, candidly, should not only be disciplined, but the same kind of thing that Rudy Giuliani just experienced, a suspension, likely a disbarment in the tradition of Roy Cohn and others, because of the impact, the point you just made, Dom, this is not just a bad affidavit and mistaken numbers. The impact of this is huge. And I would envision that state bars around the country would say that because of the impact of what you have done, you may be disbarred and you may be prevented from ever practicing again because the impact you've had on American history, on our psyche, on our sense of legitimacy in our elections, this is not just one bad lawsuit and one bad argument, one bad pleading improperly signed and authored. This is dramatic in the history of our nation. The most serious consequence possible should be pursued.
James Santel, you've got a couple of bar carts there. We got bar tabs. Does that count for anything?
James Santel, former U.S. attorney.
You don't have to answer that, sir.
If you want to pick up the bar tab, we're fine with that, Jim. Moving on topically, sir. Paul Manafort's former banker, guy out of Chicago, loaning Manafort like $16 million. And for that, the gentleman, Stephen Calk, I believe, was trying to get a couple of cush, government jobs, like Secretary of the Army, for example. It seems, again, everything that Trump touches turns to crap, and this is Manafort and a result. And ultimately, the guy gave money. Manafort stiffs the bank, and now the guy who didn't get the job lost his job. And now he's going to look at like 30 years, which seems a little high, but whatever. Jim, what do you think on this process? What do you think about this particular case?
Once again, the beat goes on, right? This is just the latest, and in a long line of people associated directly and indirectly with Donald Trump. The connection here, as you just indicated, with Paul Manafort, giving $16 million in loans in 2016, and then providing, oh, by the way, again, a bad criminal, if you will, this extensive list. I want to be the ambassador, maybe to Britain, France, Germany, if I don't get any of those cabinet posts, about 19 ambassadorships and a preference for the Treasury Secretary. Again, stunningly shocking. Criminal in its nature, yes. The account of conviction is for financial institution bribery, conspiracy to commit financial institution bribery. He is going to go to jail, probably not for 30 years. You've got that just right. But brings to an end not only his career in banking, but should also, once again, we seem not to learn this lesson, right? We certainly have to learn the lesson that this is garden variety bribery. I'm giving you money. I want something in exchange in the government. And it is so blatant, again, that the not surprising, of course, that the jury should come back. Again, a connection to Paul Manafort, a connection to Donald Trump. It underscores once again that this difficulty that everyone has whenever they become affiliated with the Trump regime and the Trump group.
Well, they call that squid pro ro, Jim, something of that sort.
Well, and Jim, of course, the underwriting portion of the actual banking part of it, certainly consequential and illegal based on what we know. But, there's donors to campaigns that, rich bundlers get ambassadorships. I mean, this is not an uncommon practice. Now, it seems, when you're using the bank fraud to, use the bank's money to do the bribe, becomes perhaps a little more problematic than using your own money to give to a campaign to get the ambassadorship. So while it is certainly offensive and brazen to put it in writing like that, had that been his own money from his own bank and he gave it to a campaign or however he distributed it, to show his support for Trump or whatever, that would have been totally kosher, right?
I could not agree with you more. And again, in the broad category, the broad horizon of corruption on one end, which you just described, to what you just described, they're all a part of, I don't want to say exactly the same, because one is overtly illegal, the other is not. I spent 2 years in Iraq working for a couple of ambassadors over there who are lifelong ambassadors in the State Department. They know what they're doing. Ryan Crocker, Zalmay Khalilzad. These are competent 30, 40-year people who know what they're doing. It is a source of concern to me, and I would offer to anyone that in any administration, present one, past one, that these ambassadorships are doled out to people based upon campaign contributions.
James Santel, you got a few more minutes for this panel. Appreciate it. Come back with us. Too legit to quit. More Devil's Advocates. More James Santel. We'll be right back.
Release the Kraken. What case. Did you guys do? Take it and do something crazy to it?
I'm holding you in contempt of court.
I know what I saw.
The Kraken!
Yes, Squid Pro Row.
Charged, never convicted. Dom and Groot are the Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. If you missed any of this fine program, go online. Devil Radio 92.7. You can download podcasts and interviews.
Dominic, we got a fine guest. He's stuck around. We appreciate him doing so. He is James Santel, former U.S. attorney and a friend of ours. And Jim, I got more questions, sir. This will bring it. Do it. Weisselberg.
I've got bar cards, so I can ask Weisselberg.
We've got bar tabs.
Weisselberg, Alan Weisselberg from the Trump Org, apparently has been removed from a leadership position in a number of subsidiaries. Jim, is this a tell of some sort, or is this normal operating procedure when the CFO is charged with multiple felonies?
It is perhaps one of the only good signs to come out of the Trump organization that somebody there said, you know what? Someone who's been charged with this kind of financial misconduct, conspiracy, this kind of mismanagement, criminal mismanagement of our own corporation shouldn't be in charge anymore. That's what any legitimate company would do at the highest levels. Interesting to find out one day whether Donald Trump was the one who made that decision or someone else did, but it is a rational decision to remove him from that position, especially since again, the district attorney in Manhattan plainly focused razor sharp on him, on the corporation. It's gone a bit quiet recently, with the exception of that bit of news, but probably because there's an awful lot of discussion going on right now between the Weisselberg attorneys and the DA, Cyrus Vance, about what happens next.
And some of the evidence has already been presented in open court. My understanding, a divorce settlement or a divorce trial. Weisselberg's daughter-in-law apparently married son Barry, who was receiving some of these grandiose perks tax-free from the Trump organization, shielding that from the taxing authorities. And that would make him just as guilty as the old man, as Alan Weisselberg, presumably. And the ex-wife is offering evidence, cooperating with the investigators, and apparently has already given this very testimony under oath in court. Jim, that seems somewhat damning to me.
It is. She's not only on the national media on a regular basis, but also plainly cooperating behind closed doors from the grand jury there in southern New York. And again, underscores this notion that Alan Weisselberg's sphere does include others who might also be culpable over the same kinds of things, his son notably. The specifics as to those things revealed in court include things like paying off the tuition for the grandchildren, those kinds of things coming out of official funds of the Trump organization. And the paradigm that you have here that you just described, Mike, is the one that your listeners should focus on, which is you've got the documents plainly. Cy Vance has all these documents, all the financial records, including the tax returns. And he also now has the person, the daughter-in-law, who describes how this works. That's always the combination, right? You need the live human being to identify what the transactions were all about. That's what Michael Cohen did, frankly. That's what the DA is hoping that Weisselberg himself will be able to do to animate the many thousands, tens of thousands of other documents that Cyrus Vance has in his possession, describing how these were handled, what the basic operating business plan was of the Trump organization, how it went wrong, and what the criminal nature of that is. Again, as I said before, I think this is the beginning of this next major tranche with respect to Donald Trump's problems, and we're going to hear more about it. Remember, too, that we also have Georgia. We've got Fulton County, that investigation going on, D.C. investigation, many other things around the country, including Letitia James in New York, who's also looking at things civilly. So even though it's been somewhat quiet, those cases proceeding. The one in Georgia, once again, focused on whether or not the president purposefully tried to intervene and change the results of that election. Hard to imagine that's not going to result in some charges coming out of the state offices there.
James Santel, former U.S. attorney. When Trump got up on stage at his rally recently, and he was opining that, I didn't even know you had to pay taxes on these benefits. And he's literally like admitting and then exclaiming his ignorance to the process. And are those actions, could prosecutors use that? Is that more ammunition for Cy Vance if and when they, you know, come around to actually file charges? Something that Trump said in public on these issues.
Any prosecutor who's presently in office, prosecutors formerly like me around the country, watched that in half amazement, half shock, candidly, because those are precisely the kinds of things that are plucked out of the media and they end up in courtrooms. They end up in transcripts. They end up in visual presentations. What would a discussion with you be like without my invoking the Mueller report? The Mueller report is chock full of those kinds of things, right? Representations made by the president publicly by other people, they end up in court and they are very inculpatory. Those particular statements about the president, who understood this, who understood that that was a problem, and in the same time acknowledging that he was doing the very criminal conduct that is the focus of the problem here.
Jim, one of my big words. I'm sorry about that. One of my big conspiracies, and we just have a couple minutes left here, Jim, that I haven't really seen much movement on. The whole Deutsche Bank thing. You know, my impression has always been Russia with Deutsche Bank to Trump, and however they look at that. Have you seen any rumblings or any hints that there might be some there with regards to the international financing through Deutsche Bank and the Russians with Trump as we see it now? And if not, who would look into something like that? Would right. Cy Vance see some record of that in what he's looking at, and would that allow him then to, you know, wormhole into something else?
Right, and I think that is one of those areas, again, to use the phrase, it's gone somewhat quiet, but I would not take that as a sign that there is not active focus on that. Those particular transactions seem pretty clear, even through the lens of the media, if you will. And my strong sense is that Cy Vance is looking at that. Understand, too, that the prosecution of Weisselberg and the corporation there, carving out a piece of what Cyrus Vance is looking at. My strong sense, it could be proven wrong, and you will tell me if I am wrong in the fall of this year, that we're still waiting to hear about those kinds of things. And again, waiting for frankly, Weisselberg to come forward and say, let me tell you about how we dealt with Deutsche Bank. Let me tell you about those accounts. Let me tell you what the tax returns mean. I will give animation to those in a way that perhaps Cy Vance doesn't have quite yet. I would still wait for that to come.
Jim, you mean wrong again? Because the former Attorney General Bill Barr, he said, give him a chance. He's a statesman. And now we find out, and we don't have time to discuss this, Jim, but Bill Barr's Department of Justice apparently was digging for reporters' emails the day before he left the Justice Department. Jim, it was to the very last. Will there be any consequence? I can give you like 130 seconds. Any consequence to Bill Barr?
The beat goes on. Recognize that all these things are still in the inbox for not only our Attorney General, but our Deputy Attorney General. I would be very surprised if there wasn't somebody right now who's looking at all of that, trying not only to remedy what happened, but to determine whether or not there should, in fact, be a criminal consequence or other kinds of consequences for that conduct.
James, the day that comes down, that will be Merrick Garland's day. We'll feature of that day if no other. Former U.S. Attorney and our friend James Santel, thank you so much for joining us here on the Devil's Advocates. Now stick around. The Attorney General, great state of Wisconsin, Josh Call, he's next.
Thanks, Jim.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Take care.
We should find out what the hell is going on.
You're a crook. You're a cheat and a swindler.
I'm a very honest person, frankly.
Believe me.